With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. The Northeast is getting ready for its first major snowstorm of the season. Some parts of northern England were expecting up to 10 inches of snow. USA Gymnastics and an Olympic sports watchdog failed to stop a coach's sexual abuse, according to lawsuits.
Two gymnasts who say they were sexually abused at an elite academy in Iowa have filed lawsuits against the sports oversight bodies, alleging Sean Gardner preyed on girls despite repeated complaints about the coach's behavior. The lawsuits filed Monday allege USA Gymnastics and the U.S. Center for Safe Sport were told about inappropriate and abusive behaviors as early as December 2017 when Gardner was a coach in Mississippi. The suits allege the organizations failed to properly investigate, revoke Gardner's coaching credentials, report him to law enforcement, or take other actions to protect athletes. I'm Gethin Coolball.
Luigi Mangione is back in court today. AP correspondent Michael Sisek reports on his court appearance yesterday.
Luigi Mangione was back in court on Monday for a pivotal pretrial hearing in his state murder case. Mangione and his lawyers are seeking to prevent prosecutors from using evidence against him that prosecutors say link him to the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Mangione and his lawyers are fighting to keep out of the trial a gun that authorities say they found in a backpack that was with Mangione when he was arrested in Altoona, Pennsylvania, 5 days after the shooting, and also a notebook and other items that authorities say they found in that backpack. Now, prosecutors say that the notebook contained writings about the healthcare industry and where Mangione expressed a desire to whack a CEO. Judge Gregory Caro is going to decide these evidentiary issues, but first he has to hear from as many as 24 or more witnesses.
This is AP News. There's a change coming to U.S. airports. AP correspondent Ed Donahue tells us more.
Air travelers without a real ID will face a $45 fee starting in February. Real ID has been required since May, but passengers without it have been allowed to clear security with extra screening. According to the Department of Homeland Security, 94% of passengers already have Real ID. The $45 fee is meant to get those 6% without it to get it. Real ID is designed to meet enhanced requirements mandated in the aftermath of the September 11th attacks. It shows up on IDs as a white star in a yellow circle. TSA officials say paying the fee does not guarantee verification, and travelers with identities that cannot be verified may be turned away. If approved, the verification covers a 10-day travel period. Ed Donahue, Washington.
More information at apnews.com. I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Since it started as a hashtag in 2012, Giving Tuesday has become one of the biggest fundraising days of the year for nonprofits in the U.S., and something Dr. Samuel Waxman, the director of the Samuel Waxman Institute for Aging and Cancer, relies on.
At one time, it was needed to fill a gap made by funding agencies such as that in the federal government and state. Now that has decreased, philanthropic giving is no longer just filling a gap. It's required to create opportunity.
He says those donations helped fund a life-saving cancer breakthrough.
I worked with colleagues to show that a form of acute leukemia could be treated to complete cure when it was once a fatal disease.
Dr. Waxman says it's something he's most proud of. with nonprofits facing uncertainty from cuts to government grants and folks tightening their belts over uncertain economic times, there's an all-out push on this Giving Tuesday for people to be generous.
Giving Tuesday reminds us, you know, that generosity is not just seasonal, that it's the soul of a compassionate society.
That's author Lisa Rowland, the founder of Animal Ashram. She also donates to other charities.
The way that we treat animals reveals how we treat the vulnerable. And Giving Tuesday gives us a chance to raise the bar for both of them.
Rowland sums it up this way.
The world isn't waiting for heroes. People need to know that. It's waiting for givers.
Last year, donations reached $3.6 billion. Julie Walker, New York.
Adobe Analytics reports as of 6:30 Eastern Time Monday evening, Americans had already spent $9.1 billion online. That was up 4.5% from last year's Cyber Monday. And that was with another 5.5 hours to go in the Eastern Time Zone alone. Online spending was expected to peak between 8 and 10 p.m. local time, wherever that may be. Electronics and apparel, the top items. When the final tally's in, Adobe projects consumers will have spent between $13.9 and $14.2 billion for the day. Those numbers would make this Cyber Monday not only the biggest online shopping day of the year, but of all time. I'm Ben Thomas.
Details have been released of President Trump's MRI results from his October physical. On Air Force One, the president said the results of the MRI were perfect.
What part of your body was the MRI looking at?
I have no idea. It was just an MRI. What part of the body? It wasn't the brain because I took a cognitive test and I aced it. I got a perfect mark.
More detail was given by White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
Advanced imaging was performed because men in his age group benefit from a thorough evaluation of cardiovascular and abdominal health.
The White House released a memo from the president's doctor, Sean Barbabella.
President Trump's cardiovascular imaging was perfectly normal. No evidence of arterial narrowing impairing blood flow or abnormalities in the heart or major vessels.
Doctors typically order an MRI to help with diagnosing symptoms or to monitor an ongoing health problem. So-called preventative MRIs are not part of routine screening recommendations. Ed Donahue, Washington.
The White House says a Navy admiral ordered a second strike on an alleged drug boat in the Caribbean nearly 3 months ago and insists it was lawful. The strikes come under bipartisan scrutiny amid a published report that Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth verbally ordered the strike to kill survivors of the first hit. Asked about it last night.
I wouldn't have wanted that, not a second strike.
Still, President Trump defended Hegseth.
Pete said he did not order the death of those two men.
But today,
Secretary Hegseth authorized Admiral Bradley to conduct these kinetic strikes.
Spokeswoman Caroline Levitt referring to Frank Bradley, whom she says worked well within the law. On Capitol Hill,
we have real evidence that extrajudicial killings are taking place.
Top House Democrat Hakeem Jeffries says he believes Congress will have bipartisan probes to investigate potential war crimes as the administration targets Caribbean vessels. Ukraine's president is expressing optimism over talks aimed at ending Russia's war. As work continues on revising a Trump administration peace proposal that was seen as tilted in Russia's favor, Vladimir Zelensky says the plan now looks better. He was in Paris, where French President Emmanuel Macron says this could be a turning point. At the White House,
we do feel quite good.
Spokeswoman Caroline Levitt notes Trump envoy Steve Witkoff will meet tomorrow with Vladimir Putin in Moscow. The U.S.-Russia part of it worries European Union Foreign Policy Chief Kaya Kallas.
The pressure will be put on the victim.
And says forcing Ukraine to give up land to its invader would send a bad signal.
That whoever has the power gets to take what they want.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The UK has secured a 0% tariff rate for all UK medicines exported to the United States for at least 3 years. In return, the UK has agreed to increase spending on new medicines. The Trump administration says that UK drug firms have also committed to invest more in the United States and create more US jobs. As part of the deal, the UK's National Health Service will spend around 25% more on new treatments in an effort to approve medicines that previously may have been declined purely on cost-effectiveness grounds for such things as breakthrough cancer treatments and therapies for rare diseases. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
President Donald Trump's ex-lawyer Alina Haba has been disqualified from serving as New Jersey's top federal prosecutor. A federal appeals court said the Trump administration maneuvers to keep Haba in the role were contrary to federal laws governing appointments. A panel of judges in Philadelphia sided with a lower court ruling after hearing oral arguments in October. The ruling comes amid the push by Trump's Republican administration to keep Haba as the acting U.S. attorney for New Jersey. That's a powerful post charged with enforcing federal criminal and civil law.
A federal review has found that 44% of U.S. trucking schools don't comply with government rules. The Transportation Department said that it plans to revoke the accreditation of nearly 3,000 schools unless they can comply with training requirements in the next 30 days. Separately, the Department of Homeland Security is auditing trucking firms owned by immigrants to verify their drivers are qualified to hold a commercial license. Another 45,000 schools are being warned that they could face similar action. This crackdown on trucking schools and companies is the latest step in the government's effort to ensure truck drivers are qualified and eligible to hold a commercial license. I'm Haya Panjwani.
I'm Seth Sutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks gave back some of last week's rally on Wall Street as Bitcoin fell sharply again. The S&P 500 lost 0.5% Monday. The index broke a five-day winning streak. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 427 points. That's about 0.9%. The NASDAQ Composite fell 0.4%. Crypto-related stocks sank after Bitcoin's price fell below $86,000. That's down from $125,000 in October. Coinbase fell 4.8%. Robinhood lost 4.1%. Treasury yields rose in the bond market. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note climbed to 4.09%. Seth Sutel, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolball. Drake May tossed two touchdowns and the Patriots became the NFL's first 11-win team with their 10th straight victory, 33-15, over the Giants on Monday Night Football.
Of course, there's all me. There's a lot of people in this locker room, this organization that play a big role in us winning games.
Colts cornerback Sauce Gardner avoided an Achilles tendon injury but will miss time with a sore left calf. College football, Kentucky fired coach Mark Stoops and hired Will Stein. UCLA plans to hire James Madison's Bob Chesney as its next coach. NBA, Donovan Mitchell scored 43 in the Cavs' 135-119 win at the Pacers. College basketball, Michigan jumped to number 3, and Purdue and Arizona remain at numbers 1 and 2 in the AP Top 25 men's poll. Texas climbed to number 2 behind top-ranked UConn in the women's poll. And MLB, the Mets signed all-star reliever Devin Williams. St. Louis Blues forward Alexei Toropchenko is the latest hockey player to miss time in the NHL because of a bizarre off-ice injury. The team said Toropchenko sustained burns to his legs as part of a home accident and is week to week. Already this season, New Jersey's Jack Hughes had surgery to repair a finger injury from an off-night dinner, and Florida two-time defending champion Etu Lustarinen has been sidelined following a barbecuing mishap. These follow David Pastrnak injuring a thumb after a sponsored dinner, Ilya Samsonov missing the 2020 bubble playoffs because of an all-terrain vehicle crash, and Dustin Penner hurting his back eating pancakes. I'm Geffen Coolball.
Hundreds of protesters gathered in San Marc in Haiti and seized the offices of City Hall to demand protection from increasing gang violence. Haiti's central region was attacked by some of Haiti's cruelest gangs over the weekend, killing men, women, and children, forcing survivors to flee into the darkness. Police made emergency calls for backup, but the bulk of Haiti's police force and the UN-backed Kenyan force are in Port-au-Prince, almost 2.5 hours away, and which itself is largely held by gangs. One survivor, Renee Charles, says, "Give me the guns, I'm going to fight the gangs. We've got to stand up and fight." Activists say they alerted authorities before the attack, but to no avail, and are urging survivors sleeping on the streets to sleep in government buildings for safety. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Pope Leo XIV has opened his first full day in Lebanon with a message of peace and religious coexistence as he prayed at the tomb of a Lebanese saint revered among Christians and Muslims. The pontiff was greeted by thousands of people who braved the rain along Leo's motorcade route as he travelled to different Lebanese Christian sites on Monday. Leo visited the tomb of the country's national saint, Shab el-Makhlouf, in the town of Anaya, north of Beirut. He then told the gathered crowds in French, "We pray for peace in the world. We pray especially for Lebanon and for the entire Levant." Since the last papal trip in 2012, the country has weathered a failed revolution, economic collapse, the Beirut port explosion, the COVID-19 pandemic, and Israeli airstrikes and invasion in the south. Hong Kong authorities say some of the netting on buildings that caught fire last week did not meet codes for fire resistance. The blaze, which took 2 days to be extinguished, has claimed at least 151 lives and left thousands homeless. Hong Kong resident Lian Shuzheng told the AP the fire is a wake-up call to all residents that live in high-rise buildings especially. Authorities are investigating possible fire code violations at the buildings, which were under renovation. The fire started on the lower level plastic nylon netting covering bamboo scaffolding around one building. It then spreads to nearby buildings through the flammable foam panels on the building windows until 7 of 8 buildings in the complex were ablaze. Hong Kong's anti-corruption agency has arrested 14 people, while authorities have acted swiftly to stifle criticism, warning against disruptions. I'm Karen Chamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.